Carolinas are being swamped by these heavy rains and high winds from Hurricane Florence.
The best scientists in the world are all telling us that our activities are changing the climate.
I don't think it's a hoax. I think there's probably a difference, but I don't know that it's man-made.
Experts say that we have until 2030 to avoid catastrophe.
Exxon News! Exxon News! Exxon News!
That's the sound of climate change protesters outside a courthouse in New York City this week as a trial against ExxonMobil got underway. The case was filed back in 2015 by then New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman.
There's nothing wrong with advocating for your own company. What you're not allowed to do is commit fraud.
Bernie Sanders calls this the climate trial of the century, and legal experts agree the case could be a landmark in deciding what fossil fuel companies like Exxon have to reveal about the future costs of climate change. The charge is that Exxon deceived its shareholders, and the state's formal accusation is fraud. Jennifer Hijazi is covering the action for Climate Wire at ENE News. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Exxon is accused of deceiving investors. What are they supposed to have done?
So the New York Attorney General is accusing ExxonMobil of misrepresenting how it handled climate risks to its shareholders in their business planning, specifically through how the company used what's being called the proxy costs of carbon in their business planning. So New York Attorney General said Exxon told their investors they were using one proxy cost of carbon, a higher proxy cost of carbon, to evaluate their investments in the future, when in fact documents have shown, according to the prosecution, that Exxon was using a much lower set of proxy carbon costs to actually make decisions internally. So essentially they're accused of keeping two sets of books.
Two sets of books. So whether you call them proxy costs or something else, what they were doing, I gather, or what they're accused of doing, was telling investors that their assets in the long term were going to be worth more than in fact Exxon knew they would be.
Essentially, yes, that's what the Attorney General is saying.
What is a proxy cost? What does that mean?
So proxy costs, in part, are hypothetical prices on carbon that reflect how governments may regulate CO2 emissions in the future in, you know, an increasingly low-carbon society. And businesses are using these proxy costs with increasing frequency to evaluate the profitability of their investments in this potential low-carbon future. And there are a lot of different ways that businesses can use these proxy costs. For Exxon's part, the prosecution is saying that they used a proxy cost at about, $80 a ton by the year 2040. But they say that their investigation has culled documents that say they were actually using a proxy cost more along the lines of $40 a ton by 2040, which is a much lower cost.
So they're deceptively lowering the cost of what climate change might require, giving the impression that particularly, as I understand it, their Canadian oil sands might end up being worth more than they really will be.
Right.
What's the state asking for? What does it want ExxonMobil to do?
It essentially wants ExxonMobil to come clean about any misrepresentations. And Kevin Wallace, the attorney for the Attorney General's office yesterday, said that Exxon could owe up to $1.6 billion in shareholder restitutions in addition to coming clean and clarifying any misrepresentation they made about their proxy costs.
Once again, Bernie Sanders says it's the climate trial of the century. He may be exaggerating it, but others say that it'll have a big impact if, in fact, ExxonMobil is convicted. What would the impact be? Where would it go next?
Reverberation from a legal standpoint, Exxon could be forced to pay up big. You know, Wallace mentioned, you know, the $1.6 billion number yesterday in his opening statements. This could also open up the possibility, depending on the justice's ruling, for other lawsuits similar to this. There are actually other shareholder lawsuits that are circulating through courts right now in Texas and New Jersey.
Why is this regarded as such an important case?
This is the first climate-focused lawsuit that has gone to trial for Exxon. And Exxon is embroiled in a multitude of different other climate-focused cases around the country that are a little bit different, climate liabilities cases, other securities cases, things like that. So this is the first time evidence against ExxonMobil, specifically regarding misrepresentations that ExxonMobil made, has gone to a trial setting.
What would ExxonMobil have to do if it lost the case?
It would have to correct any misrepresentations that it made to shareholders about the planning tools that they used, those proxy carbon costs. And Kevin Wallace, the attorney for the Attorney General's office, said in his opening statements yesterday that Exxon could owe up to $1.6 billion in shareholder restitution should Justice Ostrager find in their favor.
Does ExxonMobil claim that this is all political?
For Exxon's part, they say that a reasonable investor would not have been misled by their statements about their proxy costs. Theodore Wells, the attorney for ExxonMobil, said in his opening statements yesterday, he called this lawsuit bizarre and twisted and not based in any facts. And he brought up a theory that this is part of this broader Rockefeller-funded campaign to vilify ExxonMobil by using sympathetic attorney general's offices to bring litigation.
So some 4 million documents have been introduced into evidence. This thing might take 2 weeks. What about the witnesses?
So yesterday we had 90-minute opening statements, and this trial is going to continue, I think, for about 15 days for the next couple of weeks. And right now we are in testimony. So from 9:30 to 4:30 every day, we're going to have a witness list, go down the witness list of both Exxon and the Attorney General's office. And that's what we started with today. And Exxon's lawyer yesterday confirmed that Rex Tillerson is going to be a live witness that comes to the stand over the course of the trial. We're just not sure when.
If, in fact, ExxonMobil is convicted and they have to pay the shareholders $1.6 billion, what might happen beyond that? How might this have ramifications in other trials in other places?
Sure. So I think there are multiple other shareholder lawsuits that are circulating through the courts right now. Shareholder lawsuits brought directly by investors in Texas and New Jersey. Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey, it was reported just last week, I believe, that a lawsuit very similar to this one is imminent from her office as well. As far as reverberations felt in other climate liability cases, I think that's yet to be seen. This is not a liability case. Like I said, it's a securities case. So legally speaking, I'm not entirely sure how a narrow decision from a judge on a securities case is going to affect climate damages cases in other parts of the country. I think from a broad standpoint, if Exxon is found guilty of misleading shareholders over climate risks, it might inform this a broader dialogue. And people might ask, well, if Exxon knew that it was misleading in this situation, in this security situation, how else were they misleading the public in other situations and other timelines going back to, 1980s, 70s, so on?
Are there crowds of climate change activists who have showed up at the trial?
There were activists yesterday that lined the steps of the New York Supreme Court. They had this, they were waving this massive banner that spanned, the entirety of, almost the entirety of these steps on this city block that, with familiar refrains, Exxon knew, climate crisis, make them pay. There were a few protesters from 350.org yesterday there as well, giving speeches. So this is something that activists are keeping a close watch on in terms of the broader Exxon New discourse.
Jennifer, you've been covering a lot of climate change cases, including some that have gone as far as the U.S. Supreme Court. Tell us about what's happened most recently.
Sure. So there's kind of another bucket of liability that Exxon and these major oil companies have found themselves in. And this is a group of cases called climate nuisance. So these are U.S. municipalities suing these big oil companies, asking them to essentially pay up for damages from climate change caused by their emissions. And there are cases from San Francisco, Oakland, Boulder, Colorado, Baltimore, Rhode Island. And some of the oil companies went directly to the Supreme Court to halt the state court proceedings in Rhode Island, Baltimore, and Colorado. Because theoretically, if these cases were tried in state court rather than federal court, the U.S. municipalities may have an easier time defending them under state public nuisance laws. And then Supreme Court said yesterday that they were not going to get involved. So these climate nuisance cases, at least in Rhode Island, Baltimore, and Boulder, Colorado, will proceed in state court while an appeals process goes on if that remand order.
So we've heard about this case that's the first of its kind that just opened in New York City against ExxonMobil with $1.6 billion at stake for the company and its procedures and the way in which people are advised who are investors about climate change. We're going to hear a lot more about climate change in the courts. And Jennifer Hijazi, thanks so much for telling us about it.
Thank you so much for having me, Warren.
This To The Point Climate Change Update was produced by Andrea Brody with theme music from Chris Wotherspoon. Our engineer is Chuck Prevetary. I'm Warren Alney. Check out all of our To The Point podcasts on your favorite podcasting app. This week, the president's impulsive decision to withdraw troops from Syria and what it means for ISIS, for Turkey, and for Vladimir Putin. Don't forget to let us know what you think, what issues you want to hear more about. Don't forget to let us know what you think and what issues you want to hear more about. Give us a shout on social media, on Twitter, tothepoint_KCRW. You can reach me at warren.alney@kcrw.com. And my Twitter handle is @warrenalney1. Thanks for listening.